It's good. My name is John Helmuth. I'm here with my wife Shirley. This is our home church. We have a ministry called Voice of Life Ministries. We are privileged to travel the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been shut in since December 19th, but 2 weeks from today, July 24th, we're going to go to Uganda along with Mike and Pam over here. And we believe that God's going to move, that souls are going to get saved, that people are going to be set free. There's going to be miracles, signs, and wonders, not because of us, but because of the Holy Spirit that the Lord has placed within us and the gifts that He's placed within us. And we have plans of just continuing to keep going. We're not going to stop there. But we're excited to get back out where we believe the call of God is strongest in our life. So I was born in an Amish home and an Amish family. My father was a pastor. And I know I don't look too Amish this morning, but I got the beard, so a good start, right? Hallelujah. Yesterday I was out on a tractor for 55 miles. We had a tractor arcade that every year I participate in. You know, it's a wonderful America that we live in, the plush corn and the soybeans, all the pastures, everything was so green. I was thinking, God, you have blessed us so much. We live in America, and we have so many blessings that we don't take and appreciate. We take them for granted. But when my wife and I go to another country, such as the Philippines, we have some Filipino here, they live in a completely different world. They're blessed people because they love the Lord, but their lives are different. They're satisfied to live in a bamboo shack and eat lots of rice for breakfast, for lunch, for the evening meal, for the snack. They put a little sugar with it and cook it. Have a merienda, right? Praise God. But the Lord is, you know, I always come to teach, to preach, and demonstrate. So I like to do a little bit of all of that if the Holy Spirit allows me to do that. But Paul made a statement that I like to follow. He's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3. He said, my preaching was not with persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Hallelujah. That your faith, verse 4, should not be grounded in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for that psalm. We thank you for the assurance that your word will bring life. So touch our lives today and let the things that seem impossible become possible in the name of Jesus. Amen. I've titled the message, Into the Valley as a Spirit-Filled Believer. And we go through many valley experiences, and sometimes they really scare us. But the Amplified says, even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod to protect and your staff to guide. They comfort and console me. And we are here today in the very presence of some valleys. When we look at the signs that are taking place all around us, and we see evil emerging and becoming stronger and stronger, and you say, I haven't seen it. We better open your eyes. You better listen to the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't look like we're going to have a lot of mountaintop experiences from now on unless we get in the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. He's the one that brings the mountaintop experiences. But our day-to-day life, many of us are going through valley experiences. See, the evil one, the devil, is coming after you, your family, your home, your work, your money, and the list goes on and on. And fear is what the enemy would like you to live in. He wants you to live in fear. He wants you to be despondent. And if you watch the liberal news media every day for 1 hour, you will become very despondent. But if you read the Word of God for 1 hour, you will be lifted up. Maybe we need to turn off the TV and open the Word of God. Hallelujah. Fear. What's next? What's going to happen? But that's not what we as believers do. We go to the Word of God. We talk about the Word of God. What did I read? I will fear no evil. As we walk through the valley, we fear no evil. Even though all the things happening around us and evil seems to be growing stronger and stronger, you know, there's a great reset. They've pushed the button. They want to have a bunch of corporation with lots of money and everybody just kind of fall down on the knees in front of them and bow before them. And it's happening. It's happening. But if I follow that, I become despondent. If I follow the promises of God, we see miracles. We see signs and wonders. We see new life. We see hope. So we can't go with our eyes shut. We can't walk around with our eyes closed. We have to understand the times that we're living in. We're living in a season where prophecy is being fulfilled every day. Amen? But we come forward with faith as believers. We move in faith. Romans 10 and verse 17 said, now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We become stronger when we hear the promises of God, when they're put before us, when we read them, when they're taught to us. We become strong in our faith, and we say, devil, you're a liar. Even though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's a word in there I like to emphasize. Even though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death. We're not going to stay in that valley and shadow of death. We're going to make it through that. You can say amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, oh me. You can affirm the word today, thank you. But you know, God's presence brings trust. And the glory of God needs to be in the church. And we as the church, as the believers, need to realize that the glory of God, his presence, changes everything. We look at the man Saul. He was doing what he thought was right. And all of a sudden, that Shekinah glory came down from heaven and hit him so strong that he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, Lord, who are you? Guess what? God told him who he was. God changed his life. And the glory, glorious presence of the Holy Spirit. See, our theme is Holy Spirit, come. But that glorious presence filled that man, brought him to his knees. God changed an enemy of the church to a disciple of the church. Are you hearing me? You have some enemies out there? Need to pray for a visitation of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we don't give up in our valley experiences. We don't despair in those times that are tough and difficult. We believe that the Holy Spirit can touch us and do more in a second than you can do in a lifetime. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And because this church allows the Holy Spirit to flow, we believe in this church and we support this church. This is our church. Hallelujah. And I hope that you can make this church your home if you're visiting today. When there's no fear, then faith arises. If we live in fear, we speak fear, that comes out of our mouth. There's no room for faith to grow. But when we begin to speak the promises of God and we begin to allow him to come into our life, something changes. Faith arises. We begin to believe. We begin to understand. Even though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear what? No evil. Because, why? Oh, I brought a prop with me today. It's a big one. Ooh, I fear no evil because your rod and staff. The rod to protect, the staff to guide. We fear no evil because we know that God has our back, he has our side, he has our front, he has everything that we don't understand. And so we begin to trust God in a higher level, in a new level of faith. And when you see a miracle take place, or you feel one, as we've had testimonies today, your faith rises. Your faith rises because you say, if he did that for her, and he did that for him, he can do it for me. I'm a walking miracle today. Hallelujah. We had prayer about a month and a half, 2 months ago. I believe that God gave me a new hip. I was having so much pain day after day. It was like somebody was poking knives up in my hip. And after we prayed, the pain's gone away. So I believe in miracles. Hallelujah. You know, the rod was a natural symbol of authority for Moses. This was his symbol of authority, right? And it's used by the shepherd to correct and guide his flock. That's what a staff is used for. A rod is used for. The staff is also a symbol of leadership. Also, it's a place of rest where we can learn more about the Lord. So the staff and rod are together. They're inseparable. They're one tool. They're one instrument. And you know, when they're in God's hands, he's gentle. You know, sometimes you get smacked on the head just to get your attention. I don't know if you ever worked with mules or not, but somebody said the only way you can get their attention is hit them across the head with the 2x4, and then they'll start responding. But I don't necessarily agree with that, okay? But sometimes the Lord gets our attention in a way that we don't really like. And so some of us are stubborn. Most of us are stubborn, hard-headed. But when the rod and the staff are in the hands of the Lord, he's gentle. He guides us. He leads us. Because he loves us so much. He loves you so much. Have you ever had anyone love you so much, even when you're terrible, ugly, done wrong things, and his love just keeps pouring into you through the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and you begin to feel hope, and you begin to know that there's something better ahead tomorrow. Hallelujah. See, the devil wants us to think there's no hope, that you have to live in fear, but we don't live in fear. So when we're walking through that valley in the shadow of death, we can take a breath. Lord, I know it's a terrible place, but you got my back. Hallelujah. Your rod and your staff, they correct me if I need correction, but they also guide me. I think he used this point to kind of hope the sheep to go this way, go this way, go this way, this way, and then something bad comes in, he uses the hook and pulls it out of the way. And so we know that God loves us. Wow. We know he loves us. He cares about us. We all carry. I'm not talking about guns. Well, maybe. But we all carry something kind of like a rod that identifies who we are. You know, it might be a guitar, it might be a microphone, it might be your checkbook, it might be your cell phone, it may be a wrench, a hammer, paintbrush. Whatever it is that identifies who we are. But God came to Moses and showed himself alive to Moses, who was watching his father-in-law's sheep on the back 40. And all of a sudden he sees this fire burning, Exodus 3. And Moses is curious, but you see, we have to understand the life of Moses. See, his mother defied the government and Roe versus Wade. And when Pharaoh said any child, male child that is born has to be killed, she said, I have this beautiful baby. I'm not going to follow the rules of the government. And I'm going to believe that there's life for my son. I'm not going to murder him or allow him to be murdered by some doctor or by some nurse. And she, being led and guided by the Holy Spirit, found a place for Moses, saved his life. And we know that God had a special call on his life. Hallelujah. But it seemed like things went wrong a lot. His anger got in the way. Ours never does, though, right? His anger got in the way. He was stronger than he thought he was. He killed that man that was opposing and beating his brother. And so because he heard that they found out that he did it, he fled. He run away. But see, God never forgot. You can run as far as you want. You can go to the ends of the earth, but God never forgets the call on your life. Lisa, he never forgot what he's birthed in your spirit. Even though you've walked through the valley in the shadow of death, the Lord says, my plan, my place has not changed for you, and the call that's on your life will continue to blossom and grow stronger. Hallelujah. See, there's people that give up. But we as believers can never give up. But we have to give in. And in chapter 4, and God was talking to Moses. He says, what is that in your hand? He says, a rod. In verse 3, he said, cast it on the ground. I believe today that's symbolic of what God wants to do in our life. Whatever we hold as the most important thing in our life, God says, cast it on the ground. See, the rod of Moses represented his whole life. It symbolized ambition, vocation, wisdom, skills, status, strength. The rod was his identity. It was his instrument, his weapon, his defense. But when Moses cast that rod on the ground, he was surrendering. Even though we know the whole story and it turned into a snake, but God said, now pick it up, and it became a rod again. He was actually surrendering or presenting his whole life to the Lord. And we're at that point today where God wants you to lay down your rod. And he said, doing this, I've done all this. We know it turned into a snake. He picked it up again. He put his hand in his cloak, and when he pulled it out, it was leopardous. He put it back in. It was pure. He said, I did all of this for you so those who see it can believe. Read it for yourself in Exodus 4 and verse 5. The rod of God was what Moses called it after that. He never called it his rod. It was the rod of God. It was his presence, his purpose. And you know, he made excuses. But Lord, I can't speak. I can't talk eloquent. I have problems here. I have problems there. And verse 11, I want to read it out of the New Living. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or not speak? Hear or not hear? See or not see? Is it not I, the Lord? So where's your faith today? Where's your faith today? The doctor said it's impossible for you to be healed. The doctor says you're going to have this, you're going to have that. But what does the Word of God say? I'm the one that made your mouth. I'm the one that taught you how to speak or to see or to hear. Can I not do that for you as well? And so we need to bring our doubts and fears and lay them at the feet of Jesus. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. The presence of God. Our life ceases to be ours. But he allows us to stand up again. He allowed Moses to go, and Aaron was his mouthpiece, and he set his people free out of slavery, out of bondage, because they began to hope again. They began to realize that God loved them more than anything else. Even though they were disobedient and they ended up in bondage because of their disobedience, when they began to cry out to God, he heard them because he remembered a covenant he had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he honored that covenant. Today, when you gave your heart to the Lord, whenever that was, he made a covenant with you. He put his spirit within you. We'll go on. We have to give all to God all the fear of the unseen things that lie before us as a church, as believers. There's a lot of unseen things ahead of us. And we don't think they're really very good when we watch the world and what's happening. But what did the Lord say in the next verse? Thou preparest the table before me in the very presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. In the very presence of the worst time of our life, of what we're going through, of what we vision or think might happen, God prepares a table for us. And he anoints our head with oil. And it says our cup runs over. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God we serve. The question I have for you is the Lord really your shepherd? Because when you're going through the wilderness, you need a shepherd. Jesus said to his disciples, when I go, I won't leave you alone, but I will send a comforter, a helper, that he may abide with you for a few days. No, forever. I think I read that. Yeah, it was. It says forever. So why are you doubting the Lord? Why are you wondering if this is really going to take place? The promises he's given to you, are you doubting those promises? There's a spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. You want to write that down, look it up later. It's John 14, verses 15 to 17. In the spiritual realm, where we're supposed to live in and be connected to as believers, supposed to be connected to the Holy Spirit, the realm where God lives, right? There's always the possibility of a miracle. A couple of amens. A few of you believe that. When we go into a death situation, we need divine intervention. As children of God, I believe that we can expect that miracle. We can expect that miracle. The Lord is my shepherd. John 10 and verse 11. You've heard the verse, you know the verse. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. If you would back up one verse, it says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come to give you life, and that in abundance. And then he goes on saying, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life. In other words, he lays down his life for you and me. He already has done that. He hung on that cross. He gave his life. The Bible says, by his stripes you are healed. It's already been provided for you. Are you going to live in fear, or are you going to cast all of your cares upon him, like laying down the rod so that he can bring blessings into your life? Mountaintop experiences are great. I like it. You know, do you ever go drive up the road around the curves or at the curves, finally get to the top, and man, you could just see everything, all the valleys, way of probably 10, 15, maybe even more miles than that. You know, I believe it's a place where you can be refreshed. You know, we get to look back and see how the hand of God's moved on our lives and what He's done for us. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen. We sing that. But I believe it's also a time to look at the possibilities before us. I believe that God allows us sometimes to go to the top of that mountain to see the possibilities that lie before us. But you know, it's in the valley where things grow. It's in the valley where life grows stronger and stronger. It's in the valley where our faith grows. It's where things are birthed, hallelujah. Planting a seed and seeing a harvest, if you will, in the natural. But it's also a difficult place where we're tested. Those of you who have gone through death experiences this last couple of years, lost a loved one, or many loved ones, those were death experiences. They're not fun. They're not pretty. What was the Lord teaching us? Did you pass the test? Did you get an F? You need to take the test over again? You high school students and you college students, you know, the Lord says, you're the ones I want to carry the word. You're the ones that I'm birthing for this season to carry the word to the next generation. And I see this young lady born in the Philippines, that God has a strong call upon your life. Not by accident that you're here. And God is teaching you day by day for the things that He's birthed in you from that baby. And He says, I have a call on your life, daughter, that you might become a handmaiden of mine to teach the word throughout the world. Hallelujah. See, going into the unknown always brings any fear that we have to the surface, right? But if it comes to the surface, that's where God can remove it. I've shared probably this with you before, but my father used to melt lead weights to make bearings for windmills. I grew up, my father worked on windmills. And you couldn't buy new parts because the windmills were made many years ago. So he made it a mold. And it was Babbitt, or lead, was what the bearing was made of. And so because my dad was cheap, in a sense, he could get free lead weights from the tire shop. But they were always dirty. They had a piece of metal in them. But when he fired up that little smelting pot, got the heat really high and put those weights in there, he could pull the metal out. And pretty soon, all the dirt and the ugly junk and stuff came to the surface. And he was able to take that ladle and scrape it all off until he had pure silver, looked like silver. And he took that ladle and he dipped it in there and poured it into the mold. See, that's what God wants to do with our life. He told the children of Israel in Isaiah 48, verse 6, I'm doing new things that weren't there yesterday. Verse 7 and 10, he says, I refined you not like silver, but I refined you in the furnace of affliction. And that's what he does sometimes to us because we are so stubborn and so hard-headed. But if you go to verse 11, he says, I will not share my glory with idolatry. See, he creates new things so that the devil doesn't get the glory. He heals you today so that he gets the glory, so that he gets the praise. Hallelujah. I have to go back here for a moment. Excuse me. I got to talk to somebody. There's a couple back here. You guys can't run away. because the Lord has his hand upon you. He said, I'm manufacturing new things for you, that everything you put your hands on will be successful. In the days to come, you will see miracle after miracle after miracle. For the Lord says, I've kept you for this time and this season, hallelujah, to spread my word. I see you going different nations. Say, well, I always wanted to go on vacation. But the Lord says, you're going to carry the word in whatever area you go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Get 5 more minutes, Pastor. Okay, thank you. I will be try to be quick, okay? You know, the mountaintops, they don't produce much fruit. You ever been up on there? You see rocks, trees, beautiful. But you don't see tomato plants. You don't see green bean plants. You don't see all these other things growing up there. It's in the valley where those things grow. Valleys are an important place. They may be a hard place, but they're an important place in our life. And I believe that we have to stay in the valley long enough, live there long enough to receive the benefits that God has planned for us. And we like to run out of the valleys. But the valleys are really important to people. I don't know if you've ever traveled a lot, but most of the cities that you see when you're traveling down the road are built in the valleys by a river. Most valleys have a river. The river provides lots of good things. Transportation, if you want to go from one end of the valley to the other or down the valleys. The rivers aren't up on the mountaintops. But the rivers provide water, the food, easier to move around. Fish, I know in the Philippines, we've been there many times, the rivers are really, really important. You see a village built by the river to get their water to drink and live on. They bathe in the river, the children swim in the river. Everything they do, the river brings the nourishment. We need to get in the river of God. I think we've been hearing about that, Pastor. Pastor Harris has been talking about getting in the river, not just getting your feet wet, but immerging yourself in the river so that God can do what he wants in your life. Hallelujah. I believe that the Lord is saying to you and me, I will flow through you. I will bring refreshing water, and the word and the good soil will bring great results. Food that you eat will bring new life to your spirit. The enemy will seem small to you because of the power that I will release in your spirit. This is the word of the Lord for you. As we live in the valley, as we can see in the spirit, in the realm of the spirit where God lives, and understand his love, and we can hear the Lord speak. When we're in that valley, the Lord refreshes us. He also places and cleanses us. But there's many spirits that try to stop us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, don't believe every spirit, for many false spirits have gone out into the world. Verse 2 says, we know the Spirit of God because the Spirit testifies that Jesus has come in the flesh. But the one that we quote a lot is 1 John 4, and verse 4 says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because we've drank from the water in that valley, the Holy Spirit has refreshed us and renewed us. And he's causing life to come forth out of us. Hallelujah. There's something that God wants to do in our lives, and we just, you know, put up a wall. That, no, Lord, I'm not going to do it. But today he says, yes, I called you, son. You know that. There's more. Even though you've gone through that valley, there's more. Why don't you take a hold of that? The Lord says, why don't you take a hold of that? because he's going to refresh you. Hallelujah. There's a renewal coming. Renewal coming. I see him writing a new chapter. Writing a new chapter. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit doesn't quit when we quit. In fact, he comes down and says, come on, son, come on, daughter, get up. I have more for you. It's not over yet. And the devil's speaking to our ears and saying, it's finished, you're going to die, you're not going to make it, just well give up. Some of you have been through that in the last couple of years, maybe last week, maybe even this morning. But the Holy Spirit is in this place. And he's telling you, there's a better tomorrow coming. There's a greater anointing that's being released for your life, starting now. We need to look beyond the scene, what we can see with our eyes, and begin to proclaim the promises of God. Every problem you have, every situation you have, there's a promise in this word that will take care of it. Amen. Amen. See, we build on Jesus Christ because he's our foundation. There's no greater foundation. This is our foundation. This is the Word of God, the promises of God. This is what we build our life on. So I don't know if you got my points because I kind of pretty bad on communicating them. The first one was the Word of God, if you're taking notes. The second one was talking about the rod. The third one was going into the valley. And the fourth one is we build in the valley. Most of the towns are built in valleys. Once in a while you see a house up on a mountaintop. But almost all the cities, all the towns, travel from one end of the United States to the other. They're built in the valley. Because that's where things grow. Hallelujah. See, it's the same way spiritually. When we look at our life, we walk in the Spirit. When things are tough, we allow that toughness to be released or grow in our life so that we become strong in the Spirit. You know, in the valley experiences, God teaches us things that we can't learn anywhere else because we're too proud. But when we're humble, we can hear him say, like I shared with Lisa, I got you. I got your back. Trust me, you're not alone. There's more than you've ever dreamed. Keep dreaming. Keep allowing those visions to be birthed in your spirit. And now, go forward and do all the things I've asked you to do. Don't stop now. Just because you reached a good point in your life where you finally can breathe because the pressure's off, the Lord says, keep building. You know, our world is being overtaken with evil and evil leaders, demonic experiences, spirits, Ephesians 6 and 12. I need to have them put that up there so we can just again understand. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Remember, we're not fighting each other. We're not supposed to fight each other, but we do. But we, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and there's many of them, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is our battle. We cannot fight it in the natural. This is our battle, church. We must fight it in the spirit, but we must know what's going on. We have to understand the times that we're living in, that it's very close to the rapture, that Jesus could come today or tomorrow or even tonight. And the words, things that we're seeing happen and take place is prophecy being fulfilled about the last times. And this talks about things that are going to happen before the rapture and going to happen for the people who left behind. So we can't live in the dark. We have to live in the light. We have to understand the Word of God and understand the prophecies of this season and of this time. So point number five is we the church. And I'm about to close. But we have to prepare ourselves first. We look at our life first so we don't point fingers. If you do, there's more pointing back at you, brother. We look at our life. We have to talk to the people about God. We have to warn the people. And we have to keep on building. Let's keep on building. We have to keep on pressing on. You know, all of history, when persecution hit the church, what did they do? They quit, right? Laid down and said, it's over. No. They grew stronger. They got more strength. And the Word of God was protected. We've read stories how the people protected God's Word, baked it in a piece of bread or a loaf of bread, so when they came to search the house, they couldn't find it. The Huguenots in France, we've been to the museum there, they had their mirrors hollowed out that were on the wall so the Bible would fit in behind there. They had secret passages that they could go to. What am I saying? The Acts 2 church, when they were persecuted by Saul, they were spread all over, but they didn't get weak. They grew stronger and stronger, and the Word of God was preached more and more. And we as the church today, the Western American church, we have to do the same. We must build. We must go on. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is what changed the church. The power of the Holy Spirit is what changes the church today. You are the church. It's the presence of God's glory that changes me, that changes you. So when we see these prophecies coming to pass, almost every day, another prophecy coming to pass, we don't go climbing a hole. Because the Scripture says, tarry till I come. That means we keep building, we keep going on, we keep pressing on. So is the Lord your shepherd? We start out with Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not wander. I have more than I need. Is the Lord your shepherd today? If not, I want to give you this opportunity to make him your shepherd. If you would put up Romans 10, 9 and 10. You see, God's not going to provide a different plan. He's not going to send another Jesus. Are you hearing me? He's already sent Jesus. And Jesus made a statement in John 14, verse 6. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. Except through me. There is no other plan available. And so today, if you reject God's plan for your life, or you reject salvation that's available for you, more than likely you're going to have some awful, awful experiences in life. We know that Jesus is going to come. He's going to rapture the church away, and those who are left are going to experience things that we can't even talk about. It will not be safe for you to be alive. And even worse than that, you're going to spend eternity in hell. Hard word. That's the truth. If you reject the plan of salvation that God has offered for you, you're going to spend eternity in hell when you die. But the hope is these two verses, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Are you willing to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? Amen. If not, let's pray a prayer together. Father, we come to you. Repeat after me. Father, we come to you. In the name of Jesus, we lay down our life. We ask you to forgive us of our sins. We want to make you Lord of our life. Thank you, Father. Amen. That's simple. That's simple. Now, can you walk it out? And you can if you will remember the promises of God. So in my last closing, Brent, you and the worship team can come up. Stephen preached the truth. Guess what happened to him? They stoned him. They killed him. Saul persecuted the church, and the church was scattered. But they grew stronger and stronger. Their faith was so high and so strong that people walked in the shadow of Peter, rather, Paul. They were healed. And there was fear and trembling in the whole city because of the anointing of God upon the church. I'd like to see that back. That when sinners walk by, they tremble because they feel the power of God. See, Saul meant God's power, the Holy Spirit, and it completely changed who he was. He was evil. He was the enemy. And now when he meets God, boom, he becomes a friend of the church. So we all have enemies, people who torment us, people who make fun of us. We need to pray for them and say, fire of God, whoo, fall on them. Touch their lives. Hallelujah. Change their lives. Today, right now, the Holy Spirit will help us. If you go out and preach the truth or teach the truth, it may cost you your life. But resistance and persecution makes you stronger if you don't run from it. Those who mock you, those who laugh at you, you embrace that because it makes you stronger. Not because of who we are, but because of the power that's released in it, the Holy Spirit in us. And we know the Holy Spirit can do what? Anything. Even things that look impossible. So as you enter the valley, remember that God is with you. His rod to protect, his staff to guide you. You are not alone. He anoints your head with oil, your cup runs over, and in the end, the best part. Did you read the last verse of the song? Get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Will you stand with me as they worship? Brent, you close out the service. Thank you.